Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The intersection of therapy, men's mental health, and books. I'm your host, and as always, I'm here to guide you through another exploration of how we can use our resources, understanding, and community to foster better mental health and well-being. Today, we're going to be embarking on bibliotherapy. Now, a lot of people don't know what bibliotherapy is, but essentially, it's the perfect intersection of mental health and books. From this point onward, the podcast will be dedicated to looking at and uncovering books that can significantly contribute to the improvement of men's mental health and well-being going forward, and mental health in general, especially for men. And I'll tell you why when I start doing that. Because I keep getting feedback from the universe, okay? And the universe, I believe it's God, but the universe keeps telling me you need to keep talking about books. So when I'm on the internet and I'm scrolling through TikTok and Instagram, a lot of people are like, men don't read enough books. Men need to read more books. Men are the hardest people to sell to when it comes to books. Men should be reading more books. Men say they read, but they don't read books that will help them develop. Yada, 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 yada. And it frustrates me because I'm the kind of person, I'll never say that anybody needs to do anything without providing some solutions as to what it is they should be doing, could be doing, or, you know, would probably benefit from doing, right? And a lot of people don't necessarily suggest what books men could be reading to improve their well-being, to develop better, to do all of this stuff. Working in mental health and working in this profession in this way, and also having a huge interest in books and witnessing when men don't read books or don't want to read books or feel kind of put off by books, it just makes me feel as if I need to come in and speak about this a lot more. It's not necessarily just for men to look at, but I'm very much going by the direction of saying, men, here are some books that you can get started with. It doesn't have to be such a heavy lift, but here's what you can do to develop yourselves in ways that are conducive to your future and to your well-being and to your communication styles and a ton of different things. A lot of my grounding and a lot of my work is based in the books that I've read. And I think that a lot of people find their sources of inspiration from many different things. A lot of people find it from music. A lot of people find it from film. I happen to find it from books and the books that have guided me this far to help men put words to the emotion, put words to the experience. Especially when I'm working with young boys, I take a book and I break it down and I take the main themes from those books and have a conversation with them about the themes and then how this can apply to their mental health and well-being. And I'm developing ways in which to do that with a lot more men as well. So that's why I'm looking at books as part of the intersection. So if you think about it as a Venn diagram, we have mental health in one circle, we have therapy in another circle, we have books in another circle, and then right in the middle is me. So that is what I am focusing on going forward, and hopefully it should be a fun journey. I think that it's going to help me read a lot more, and I've got some other projects coming up that I cannot talk about at the moment, but I'm looking forward to bringing that forward, where I will be speaking a lot more about books and more often. And I think that it would be useful, it would be fun to have this conversation around books going forward too. All right. And who would have thought being a bookworm could actually help people with their mental well-being? Woo! Look at that. All right. So let's get into it. I want to start with actually looking at what bibliotherapy is. A lot of people are always like, bibliotherapy? I never heard of that. That's like a long word for something. Essentially, it's the use of books for therapeutic purposes. It's like when you had a teacher who was like, oh, have you read this book? This book might help you with your grief. This book might help you with your anxiety. This book might help you see yourself a lot more. And they hand you the book, you take it, changes your life, you start reading forever, and you're like, oh my God, this book really changed the way I thought about stuff. Sometimes you might read forever, but you might read that book and think, this was something that changed my life. And it really shifted the way that I thought about myself and thought about the world at large itself, right? And a lot of people come to these experiences at different points in their life. Some people pick up a book well into their 50s, 60s. Some people pick up books as early as like 3 or 4. And there is a whole life to be lived in between these times, right? So, I mean, it's not a matter of saying, for me anyway, it's not a matter of saying that you're this skillful and you're that skillful. Oh my God, you can read this many books in this amount of time. But for me, it's like, what did the book do for you? How did it help you? How did it help you move through some of these challenging issues? How did it develop your curiosity? How did it make you fall deeper in love with the world and the things that are happening in it? Did you develop a sense of, you know, more empathy, more self-compassion, more compassion for other people? You know, we have so much going on in the world, and we're so used to having quick fire content, whether that be on TikTok or whether that be on Wikipedia or whether that be on other social medias. And, you know, we want to consume the information quickly, but there's something about just taking a book and reading it slowly, sinking in the information, taking your time to meditate on some of the words that have come out and helping that change the way that you encounter the world and the way that you deal with some of the stuff that's going on. So one of the books that that changed my life generally was a book called A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. Okay. And that book, and I think that book is a book that traumatizes a lot of people. I think anybody who's read that book or is around anybody else who read that book, if you mention those words in front of them, they probably do like a sharp head turn, or they have a bit of a PTSD experience, right? Because it's such a heavy book. There's so much that goes into it. It mixes up the depth of the psyche of men in the book. It touches on sexuality, touches on grief, it touches on, you know, self-harm. It has a lot of deep mental health and serious life conversations happening in that book. And it talks about the kind of conversation around aging and progressing through life, looking at male friendships, looking at relationships, mentorship, what it looks like to idolize another person. It's just so many different topics that have gone in there. And it's the one book that I would say that led me towards wanting to become a psychotherapist, because it led me down a path of thinking about the mental health of men and boys and my own mental health and what that looks like as I grow older. And there's a picture painted in the book of what happens when you get older and when you're reflecting and looking back on life. I didn't want my life to look like the way it did for certain characters. So I went down a spiral of thinking, wow, how could I be of service? How can I help? How can I do the best possible job in the best possible way to support my community and the people that I want to help, right? And the people that I know that I can help. So that's the kind of power that books have. They can shift the way that you think about the world. They can break up preconceived notions. They can challenge your belief systems and rewire how you deal with the world itself. So what is bibliotherapy? And as I said, bibliotherapy is the use of books for therapeutic purposes. And for centuries, it's been used as this way. People have used books to heal, you know, since Plato times, since biblical times. There's a lot of rich literature out there that has been around for centuries that has helped people. And the thing about bibliotherapy is that it's simple and it's accessible. You can actively go and hand somebody a book, a link to an audio book or something along those lines. And it involves reading and being guided through specific literature. So that can be poetry, which is really helpful. You've got nonfiction, you've got fiction, and other self-help materials as well. And these could relate specifically to someone's personal situation, their challenges and their mental health conditions and concerns. And it helps with reflection, identification, what we call catharsis, and insight, and offering readers new perspectives and coping strategies, and a sense of not being alone in your experiences. Because there can be a tendency for us to sit down and think that we are going through everything by ourselves. And it can be useful to remember that there's more out there outside of ourselves. Yeah. And there's a book called The Reading List, which I found to be really interesting as a way of helping somebody go through or their loneliness or find connection or find community. And I think that that's something that bibliotherapy can do, especially as a gateway into mental health support, care, and community. And the way that I typically tend to do it is when I'm working with a client, I will speak to them about their mental health concerns, you know, as a typical therapy session goes. If bibliotherapy is something that it seems useful to the client situation, and I've got, and I am building a library of books that I can suggest to people, I will suggest it. However, I will make sure that it is going to be helpful. And also I will have to assess the client's relationship with reading, their history with reading, their relationship to that. So that could, all of that can be part of a therapeutic process itself. And if we double this back around to when we say men need to read more, I have a prevailing theory that a lot of men and boys, right? Let's say boys, a lot of boys, when they are punished, and I say specifically boys of color as well, when they are punished, they tend to get the things that they really enjoy taken away from them. And when they get those things taken away from them as part of their punishment, they are always told to go and read as a punishment. Now, when you get adult men who shy away from reading, who don't want to read, who don't want to have that connection, I tend to go back and think, okay, what has your history been with reading? And then 9 times out of 10, I'm finding that a lot of men's relationship with reading stems from it being used as punishment when they were younger. So therefore, as they grow older, it's not something that they want to do. And it's not the coolest thing to do either. Like, reading is not always seen, when I was younger anyway, it wasn't seen as something that was fun or exciting. I mean, I had a big imagination, so it was always fun and exciting for me. But a lot of boys, they wanted to be outside and they wanted to be on bikes and go and play sport and do all of the other things, which again, I wanted to do and I did. Not as much as other boys, but you know, I wanted to do that as well. But reading shouldn't be used as a punishment for boys, especially if we want boys to get older and grow into men. we want them to engage with reading as a leisure activity and a pleasurable activity that will allow them to have a bit more resources going forward. I mean, I grew up and a lot of the boys in my year group didn't read books in the way that I read them. It was only, we had 10 minutes of reading before, at the beginning of English. And I think that anybody who's in a in the schools in the United Kingdom who grew up and was in secondary school in the early 2000s, they would remember that there was like a 10-minute reading time before we started the English lesson. So that was a lot of the time that I saw my friends reading books. But I was reading books at break time, I was reading books on the bus, I was reading books when I got home, I was reading books at the dinner table, to which my mum said, no books at the dinner table. It became that sort of conversation, that kind of discipline for me as well. There's also that underdiagnosis of neurodivergence as well. Dyslexia, ADHD, dyspraxia, dyscalculia, autism, all of these experiences are being underdiagnosed in a lot of boys of color. And when you use the tools in which these boys struggle with as punishment, reinforcing shame and the negativity bias and all of that stuff in them, they're going to grow older and they're not going to want to do any of that. They're not going to want to, you know, pick up a novel and sit down and read it and spend some time going through somebody's story and somebody's psyche and go following a story down the road and trying to figure out where it came from and figuring out what that means to them and all of this stuff. So when I'm talking about men's mental health, and I have spoken about this in a previous episode, it's been challenging to talk about men's mental health in a way that actually has the actionable sides behind it, outside of the typical join a men's group or go and do meditation or journal or whatnot, which are all valid as well. And I will be talking about journaling a lot more as we go down the process of books and mental health and the like, and how we can read better and, you know, and delve deeper into processes in understanding ourselves through books. But let me say, look, here's a reading list that you can actually start going through and working your way towards and stepping out and grabbing a book and then building that community. Listen, when I'm sitting there and I'm talking and I'm reading my book, A Little Life, for example, and I'm on the train and I see that there is a man watching me read this book. Okay, yeah, I was a bit creeped out. Don't get me wrong. I was thinking, why is this man watching me reading the book? And every stop, I think it was at least three stops, every stop I looked up and the man had moved closer, and by the time two or three stops went by, he was in front of me, and I was like, this is strange. And if anybody knows the Bakerloo line, you know what kind of people are on the Bakerloo line. I'm gonna leave that there. So he started saying, oh, are you reading the book? And it's like, how far are you? And I said, oh, I'm halfway through. He's like, oh man, like that book was heavy. That book was, like, keep going, like you'll love it. And it will change your life. And it did, it broke me in two. But, you know, these are the kind of conversations we can have when we're having conversations about books, especially as men as well. And there are loads of book clubs out there and I want to shine a light on at some point later on in the episodes going forward. And I will make sure to highlight where people can go, especially guys can go and, you know, get the community that they need to have these conversations. But in upcoming episodes, so we will explore a range of books that I think have shown promise. And when I'm on my ramblings around town and I go to the bookstore and I pick up books, and I'm going through my own reading process, I will share the books that I'm reading and the books that can be useful. I've got a ton of books that I want to share and I want to talk about. And I think that these could be the gateway for a lot of men to seeking some real tangible help and support. And remember, it's not always about the physical book. There's the physical book, there's the ebooks on the Kindle, etc. And there's also audiobooks, and they are useful to helping you, you know, for accessibility reasons and for different people and different experiences when reading books. I would also suggest things like Wiser and Blinkist, very, very loosely, but the only reason I would suggest those is if you wanted a snapshot of a book before you buy the actual book. So you can actually get a snapshot of a book in, say, 20 minutes just to get an idea of the typical breakdowns of what the book actually is about and what it's going to be about. And then I would say go to the actual book and, you know, pull out your own ideas yourself and see how it moves and shakes you at the same time. Well, we will discuss books and we'll decide, we'll dissect them and look at the themes and insights they offer, how they can be applied to your everyday life to help you with your resilience and your empathy and your mental well-being. But it's also not just about the recommendations, because I really want to look at this and dive into how to engage with bibliotherapy effectively. It's not merely reading for escapism, it's a more active, engaged process. And we will discuss techniques like reflective writing, guided sessions, how to translate insights from the page into real life action, what that means for your observations, and a load of different things. So I think it's going to be a very, very exciting place to begin and to start. And I want to say to all the listeners and viewers out there, I mean, I encourage you to look at this journey into bibliotherapy as an open invitation. It's an invitation for you to open your mind, to explore your inner world, to confront challenges with renewed perspective, and also engage with stories that heal, inspire, and transform. So whether you're struggling with mental health issues, seeking personal growth, or just looking for ways to support a loved one, there's a book out there that can light the way for you and can set the path straight. I wanted to stop there, and I think that that would be very useful for you going forward. I'm going to say here are a few books that I wanted to suggest, and these can be found over at my bookshop.org list, which is uk.bookshop.org/shop/buy Alex Holmes, which I'm going to leave in the show notes. It's the Hard Part Book Club. And there I'm going to be throwing in my list of books that I have been using and been acquiring over time across nonfiction, fiction, and poetry. And I will find more and create more different lists for people to go to so they can see the books that I talk about and see the books that we talk about when we come to these episodes as well. And just a few of the books that I think might be useful, which I'm not going to go into these in any detail or any depth at the moment, but I would go into them at some points across the year. In the nonfiction section for men, I have put things like Man Enough by Justin Baldoni, got Men's Work by Connor Beaton, Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday, and his book Courage is Calling as well, and a book by a man called Richard Reeves called Of Boys and Men. And those are good places to start if there's something that you want to discover about yourself and about masculinity and about the ways that you encounter the world and are encouraging yourself to be in the world as well. And that's just the nonfiction side. There's a ton of fiction books on there too. And I'm going to be developing the fiction list out as well. It's not as long as the nonfiction one. But I definitely feel like there should be more men reading more fiction too. And so they're there. So they're going to be in the show notes and you can have a look at that as well. But remember, this is just the beginning. And as I said, the Hard Part podcast is committed to being your companion on this journey towards better mental health through the power of books and therapy and all of the stuff around mental health. I believe in the transformation and power of storytelling and its ability to connect us to the deepest parts of ourselves and to each other. So please stay tuned for the next episode where we will begin our deep dive into more specific books that can help men and anybody else listening to navigate the complex terrain of mental health. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And until next time, keep turning those pages and exploring the narratives that shape our lives. The hard part is always the beginning, but let's get it going and keep going forward. If you really like this show, please send it to somebody that would benefit from it greatly. Also, rate, review, and subscribe. Subscribe on YouTube. Drop me a message. Instagram, TikTok, wherever you want to find me. Thank you for coming, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.